Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Martin, we didn't even get to this. There's so many different angles to discuss this Kansas City Chiefs thing from. And I really want to see what you think of this. My ultimate take on the way Patrick Mahomes responded yesterday was that the anger and the frustration that he had towards the referees, he should have toward his receivers. This week, like, he needs to go off on those dudes. And look, I will preface it with this. Maybe he is behind closed doors. I don't think so. I don't think that's his demeanor. I'm not talking about at press conferences. I like the fact that he takes the hits at the press conference, right? I like the fact that when he throws it to MVS and MVS drops it, which would have been a touchdown, he says, hey, I could have thrown it a foot short or something. You know, like, we all know that's BS, but I like that he takes that route in the press conferences. But behind the scenes at practice, he needs to go into the receiver room and go off on those dudes. We talk with Coach Eric Mangini all the time. You know, he's on First Things First. He was an assistant coach in New England when Brady was there early in his career. He said Tom Brady did that. Tom Brady held his receivers to an incredibly high standard. And if you didn't reach it, if you weren't your best, if you weren't putting in hard work, then he was going to go off on you, or you were just going to get the cold shoulder at some point. Like, you were going to know you were on his bad
side. He was not going to throw you the ball.
Right. You weren't going to get the rock.
Same thing with Aaron Rodgers, too.
Yeah. Now, and I don't like the way Rodgers, because Rodgers does it too publicly.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I'm fine with the nice guy in the press. But when it comes to behind the scenes, those dudes need a foot up their butt, their backside. Because they clearly, look, he has the pedigree, Martin, obviously. And I bet you every receiver on that team wants nothing more than to please Patrick Mahomes, right? He's the best quarterback some of us, you know, feel like we've ever seen. And so I don't think that's his personality, but he needs to let these dudes know, y'all not cutting it. And I think that's where they miss Eric Bieniemy. Everybody's, you know, with people now starting to say, well, is Bieniemy the fact that he's not there the issue? He wasn't calling plays. But I think what he was the bad cop. And Andy Reid is a good cop. Mahomes seems like he's a good cop. They needed somebody that was a bad cop. And now these same receivers, all they missing is Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a professional receiver, legit professional receiver, maybe a number three at this point. At one point, maybe a number two. So I'm not saying he's not very good, but he's not all that. And last year, he wasn't all that. But I think Bienemy had his foot on those dudes and made sure they were the best they could be. And they actually should be better this year because most of them were here a year ago and you would have expected some improvement. So I think that's what Mahomes needs to do, Martin, is go off on these cats and stop like babying them or you know, taking all the blame and start jumping on these dudes like, man, y'all need to step up. We about winning Super Bowls here. The defense is better than it's ever been here. I'm the same. Well, he ain't even got to say it like I'm doing my thing because we know what he is. Travis is doing his thing. Isaiah Pacheco is running like a monster. And y'all can't catch the freaking ball? Y'all don't know the freaking plays? Come on.
I think at this point, you know what? I think he needs to have that conversation, but probably needs to go upstairs to GM Brett Veach's office instead.
Look, amen.
I just started working out back in October, right? I just started getting back into it after COVID, right? After in October. Somebody goes in there and tells me to bench press 600 pounds, I can't do it. No matter how much yelling you do, no matter how much screaming you do, I don't have the physical ability to do it. Right now, you taking this cast of characters, Sky Moore is a bust. You missed early in the draft with him. Kadarius Toney, he's on his second team as a first-round pick in his fourth year. All right, that tells you all you need to know.
And they traded for a third-round pick. Right?
Okay, like Travis Kelce is the only dependable receiving option on this team. And that's the biggest issue that you have right now. And sure, I know they won a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill, but you know, a guy named Marcus Kemp had like five catches for 85 yards in the AFC Championship game last year. Right. You can't get by on smoke and mirrors for too long, and that's what ended up happening. The bill is coming due on the idea that you let go of guys like Tyreek Hill. You moved on from certain players like Kareem Hunt.
That's why Mahomes took less money.
So the bill's coming due. So I'll go ahead a conversation, but I'm having it with my GM because
we got all type
of dogs on the back end right now. Defensively, we got a ton of good players, young players. Offensively, you got to give me something to work with, brother.
I agree. He should talk to them both. I totally agree because they're taking him for granted. We saw it happen with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, hence one Super Bowl. Now, obviously, Mahomes already crossed that. You know, he's got two, but look, people mocked me. You know this, Martin. About a month ago, I said, you know, when they talked about Tyreek Hill trade, and I said, well, I don't know that they won that trade. Yeah, they won it last year, and they got that one ring. But going forward, if they, you know, they may have lost that deal. And here's my thing. You've got arguably the best quarterback ever. Why don't you maximize him with one of the greatest receivers ever? The show could have been fantastic. And y'all said, you know what? We don't have to win that way. Let's go. Let's win boring. Let's just win with defense. And that's fine. Winning is winning. But you are taking Patrick Mahomes for granted. And Brett Veach, Martin, you said it right, needs to be called on the carpet just like those sorry receivers up in Kansas City.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There was another huge game, a lot of good games this weekend, but another big game. And, of course, that was the Dallas Cowboys putting it on the Philadelphia Eagles in an NFC divisional matchup. The Cowboys, of course, won 33-13 and really had a dominating performance of the previous number one seed in the NFC. And Dak Prescott, who was very good, Martin, but wasn't fantastic. He had a fumble that led to a touchdown, threw for 271 yards, 24 for 39, two touchdowns, no picks. But it was enough for him to move into first place as far as the odds makers are concerned in the MVP race. I've still got Brock Purdy for now. I'll say this. Dak is about to enter his gauntlet, or he has entered it, right? Philadelphia just had an incredibly tough five-game stretch. They came through it 3-2. But Dak, after, you know, they played a lot of what I call tomato cans early in the season. Mm-hmm. The couple of good teams they played, San Francisco bashed them. Philly beat them in Philadelphia. And then they came out. Seattle's a pretty good team. They beat them. And then they beat the Eagles, of course. They got Buffalo, Miami, and Detroit awaiting. If Dak plays well in those games, even if they may drop one, but if he plays great like he has been for the most part, then I got no problem with him being MVP. I think it's very close. I think it's going to go down to the last week or two of the season. But I don't think he did enough on Sunday, especially considering that Brock Purdy threw for, what, 368 yards himself and two touchdowns for the Niners in their big win. So where are you at on the MVP, and do you think Dak did enough to move ahead of Purdy or move just into first place, period, in the MVP race?
I do. I mean, I thought I had him as a favorite last week prior to, because the thing about Brock Purdy, which is not an insult to Brock Purdy, it's not an insult to say somebody is not the MVP, but I wonder, and I don't think it's crazy to think, that if Christian McCaffrey was not available, who had 95 yards on the first five carries of the game last week or Sunday, that where would Brock Purdy be?
And you just wonder? See, that's the thing. You're dealing in hypotheticals.
All right, but I'm dealing in reality with Dak Prescott.
We've seen is that Brock Purdy's been getting it done.
I'm dealing with reality with Dak Prescott, though, because the thing is, all right, sure, maybe you would rather have Brandon Ayuk over CD Lamb over Brandon Ayuk, but every other skill position, 49ers got the Cowboys beat. And I think that when you look at the way that Dak Prescott has been playing the last few weeks, especially since that, again, that drubbing that they got up in Santa Clara, Dave Hellman just said it. Mike McCarthy realized that Dak is the engine to this offense. And so what did he do? He went and engineered a game in which they beat one of the NFC favorites in the Philadelphia Eagles by 20 points. Right? Like, he didn't need to do more than he did. And so I can't knock him. Like, okay, obviously, you know, you never like to see a guy fumble six, right? Or right, lose, right. Turn the ball over like that. So did he have a perfect game? No. But I have no qualms with a guy who just beat the Super Bowl runner-up by 20 points. And I know you pointed out the Eagles game in Philadelphia. They were look, he does a step out of bounds there. Shoemakers it takes one step in closer, or they rub route, they execute that the right way. That's a touchdown. That game's a different game, right? So I'm not trying to take – but, again, they lost it, so sure. I'm not
Who's
trying to –
Who's been better in the big games?
Dak Prescott
Purdy,
to me.
Really? So Purdy throwing for four touchdowns and like 260-some-odd yards against Dallas when Dak had three interceptions and one touchdown, Dak was better? Purdy throwing for – I mean, look, I think it's very close. And Dak is having a great season. And what I will say is this. I do agree that Dak is driving his offense and doesn't have as much help as Purdy. However, he's got plenty of help. Tony Pollard is good. CeeDee Lamb is playing like a top five receiver. Jake Ferguson has come along. And – he's got a top five offensive line. What does Purdy have? At least according to Pro Football Focus, Purdy's got
Chris.
The 22nd. Hold on. Do you need to be blocked for? Because Purdy's got the 22nd ranked offensive line in the league. Dak's got the 5th ranked. I think that matters. I mean, you can talk about the skill positions, and that's true. But what about the big hogs up front? You need somebody to block and protect you as well. And I also think, head-to-head, as I said, Purdy against Dallas. 4 touchdowns, 252 yards passing, a 144 passer rating. Dak, 3 picks, 1 touchdown in that game. Purdy against Philadelphia, 314 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. 148 or close to 149 passer rating. I mean, the dude in the big games – has been delivering like crazy. Jacksonville, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 296 yards, 148.9 passer rating. Tampa, of course, he had the perfect passer rating. Like, I mean, the dude is killing it statistically and throwing dimes as well. Like, and it's not like all his yards are coming after the catch. Only like 48% of his total passing yards has come after the catch.
Chris, that's half.
Okay.
That's a significant number.
Okay.
And
keep
I'm not
it there.
Hold on.
Let me finish.
All right. Because
keep that same energy when I read you these statistics, Martin Weiss, that are gonna make you bite your tongue. Okay. Here's the percentage of your passing yards that are after catch for Brock Purdy this year. And the previous 5 MVPs. Brock Purdy this year, 48.9% yards after the catch. Wow, seems like a lot. Until you see that Patrick Mahomes last year, 54.3% after the catch. Rodgers a year before, 52.7% after the catch. Rodgers the year before when he won his first of back-to-back MVPs, 52.3%. Mahomes in 18, 51.2%. And even with Lamar in 2019, only 43.5% of his yards were after the catch that year. But even with that, the previous 5 MVPs have averaged 51% of their total passing yards were after the catch. So Purdy's beneath them. So what's the argument now? Because everybody wants to say he's just throwing these little slant patterns and dudes are taking it to the house. But yesterday, through 40 air yards to Debo for a 50-yard touchdown. Ayuk, he hit on the long pass. Kittle, he hit on the long pass.
All like, of those guys you're listing right too. Now
what?
Have arguments to be all pro. All of
Fine,
those guys you
but
just
they wouldn't
listed.
Be all pro if he wasn't throwing them the football.
But the point is, Chris, they have arguments to be all pro.
So he
Devontae
should be punished
Adams
for that?
Had arguments
he
to
should be punished for that?
It's not a punishment to say he's not the MVP. It's not a slight. It's not a disrespect. It's just simply
his,
not.
His numbers are
it could
at
only
least,
be one.
His numbers are at least equal to Dak's, if not better. It's very close. We can call it a wash.
Call I mean, it a wash. Dak. Tell me
he's
how many
Dak.
All pros is on Dallas's offense right now.
CeeDee Lamb. I know there's a couple linemen. They got the 5th best offensive line in the league. So that's 2. I mean, all pro?
That's what I'm talking about. All pro. Because George Kittle right now.
McCaffrey's going to make it. And And I don't know that either one of those receivers is going first team all pro. Top two receiver. I mean, Ayuk is having a great year. Debo is just becoming Debo again. You know that, right?
He's like got like six touchdowns in the last 3 weeks.
Right. That's what I just said. He's just becoming Debo again. You hadn't seen him do this since he got injured.
Because he broke his shoulder. And what happened after Debo broke his shoulder?
What happened? Martin, my point is this. What happened after he broke his shoulder? Well, last year they were 3-0 and then got to the NFC Championship.
Okay, but this year
we're
talking about the MVP.
No, last year they were 3-0 without him.
But this year.
My point is this. Early in the season, Debo wasn't playing like this. Debo is just, as you said, the last three weeks probably, really gotten back to being Debo. And I think Debo's one of the best football players in the league. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying you can't put all the production Brock Purdy had early in the season on Debo.
I'm not. But what happened when he got hurt? That 49ers went
0-3? Last year they went 3-0 when he got hurt.
All right, but last year don't have nothing to do with this year's MVP.
McCaffrey was there. Why couldn't McCaffrey carry him?
Because he had a strained oblique. He was also hurt.
But he was playing.
He was also hurt. That's
well, you're playing.
Thing.
You playing. I don't want to hear about injuries. We're not talking about Jalen Hurts injuries.
All right, Trent so then what
Williams,
happened?
Trent Williams was hurt as well. Now, he played, but he was hurt too. So you had several guys hurt. And what had happened? Well,
Brock couldn't pick it up.
Brock Purdy put him in position to beat Cleveland.
And then
a rookie kicker missed a 41-yard field goal. That's Brock Purdy's fault, I guess. Well,
Dak Prescott had the Cowboys ready to beat the Eagles, and the former Michigan tight end Luke Schoonmaker decided to go down an inch before he was supposed to. Like, we can play that all you want, but the bottom line
that's different than the kicker missing a 40-yard. It is.
Oh, okay.
A 40-yard field goal. I mean, he didn't have a defender bearing down on him like Schoonmaker did.
There's 11 people trying to block a field goal.
Like, man, stop. A 40-yard field goal is a gimme nowadays. And dude couldn't make it.
I'm old enough to remember a few weeks ago against the Colts when Myles Garrett jumped across the offensive line and intercepted a field goal. That's the same team that Jake Moody missed the field goal against. Also another former Michigan.
All right, you mentioned that Dak's been on an all-time heater, right?
He has.
Well, in the last five games, Purdy's got more passing yards, all right? He's got a higher completion percentage, and his QB rating is 136 to Dak's 107.
Because he's over got better weapons.
But he don't have a better offensive line.
He's got better weapons,
you need
Chris.
Time.
Neither one
of them. Dak don't have enough weapons. That's it?
I'm not saying he doesn't have enough weapons. They're doing just fine with the lack of weapons compared to the 49ers that they do have. Michael Gallup.
Who's been better in the big games?
Chris, listen.
Who's been better in the big games? It's a simple question.
Brock Purdy went 0-3 in a stretch, right? All right. Did Dak lay a stinker against the 49ers? Sure. Did he lay a stinker in Philadelphia? I don't believe so. But if you want to go ahead and say
it was a stinker against Arizona.
Sure was a stinker in Arizona. Was that a big game?
Yeah, they lost.
Oh, okay.
Every game is a big game.
Well, then in that case, where's the same energy for when Brock Purdy lost to whoever was Josh Dobbs playing quarterback for the Vikings at that point, or maybe Kirk Cousins?
Was that the game where he got concussed and then threw the two interceptions?
He's on the field.
Oh, but
you just told me we're not talking about Jalen Hurts injuries.
Don't matter.
Come on, Chris. Let's just keep a little consistency. Like all the Kansas City Chiefs fans are clying for right now.
I'm saying head to head, Brock outplayed Dak. I'm saying in the big games, Brock has been better statistically than Dak. I mean, Brock is averaging darn near 10 yards per attempt. You know the last time. Well, he's actually done it. He's more yards per attempt than Kurt Warner in 2000. No one has averaged more yards per attempt in NFL history since what Dak Purdy's doing in the last 69 years, Martin. You got to go back to cats like Sid Luckman and Otto Graham. Chris. I mean, this dude is doing something we haven't seen in 70 years.
Christian McCaffrey had 17 touchdowns in 13 weeks.
Oh, he's great.
And he was hurt for three of the games. Like
he played in
the
game.
So who is the engine of the team?
I thought we were having consistency. They all are. But the quarterback, we all agree that the quarterback We all agree that the quarterback is the one making the decisions, getting the ball to these guys, and people try to bring up Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo never had stats like this.
Because he was sorry. Brock Purdy, okay, I agree.
But my point is, Brock Purdy is better than
Jimmy Garoppolo. I agree. That's why he beat him out. I agree. Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, my point is, don't just say it's the system when Jimmy Garoppolo has success in the system, but not like this. They weren't scoring like this. He wasn't putting up these types of numbers. I mean, you don't put up these numbers and not be a really good player. And I'm not even calling him elite. I'm just saying, to me, head-to-head and in big games, he has the edge over Dak. Now, Dak might, you know, Dak's got time because Dak's got his gauntlet coming, and that's fine. And I have no problem if Dak is MVP. But I'm just saying, to date, Brock Purdy's proven more against better teams.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, everybody kind of, you know, lost track of this as they're following the NFL. But on Saturday, the Lakers became the champions of the NBA's first in-season tournament. And Anthony Davis was a monster, led them to a victory over the Pacers with 41 points, 20 rebounds, and I believe 4 blocked shots. He was an absolute beast in that game. But LeBron James was named MVP of the tournament. LeBron had 24 points, 11 rebounds in the championship game. And look, LeBron was the MVP of the tournament, right? It was 7 games. He was the best player for the Lakers.
So they considered the entire 7 games.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a Final Four MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Rob G, unless I'm wrong, if it was a final game, obviously it's AD.
Okay.
You could even argue Final Four. But certainly the whole tournament would have been LeBron. Rob G, what, you have any details on that?
No, you're exactly right. They weighed the entire tournament, and LeBron James through the course of the tournament was absolutely sensational.
Sure.
Right. So they also are going to, and we're going to get into what this may mean for LeBron's legacy, if anything, but they are going to hang the banner. Now, this is a team, what they got, 17 championships. And they are going to hang the banner from the in-season tournament. And Rob G, lifelong Laker fan, is not happy about this. Rob G, give us the details.
Yeah, we don't hang Pacific Division championships. We don't hang Western Conference championships. We only hang NBA championships. However, starting on December 18th against the New York Knicks, the Lakers will unveil an in-season tournament banner. It'll be a different shape and color than the title banner, so you can tell the difference. And they're only going to hang one with open space underneath it so that they can, assuming they win more going forward, just add the extra years that they end up winning.
Open space beneath?
you know, so, was going to say in-season tournament champion.
There's only going to be one banner.
And they'll update it, yes.
Right. I got to be honest. I like it. As long as they separate it, it's like in a different place or, you know, it's clearly differentiated from the championship banners. And I get it. You're right. They don't hang Western Conference banners even. And they are the Lakers, the glamour franchise of the NBA. But I think this goes further in legitimizing the tournament.
Exactly.
Which I think is good, right? I think 5-10 years from now, this will be kind of a big deal. Nobody wants it to be as big as a championship. It shouldn't be. But it is a fairly big deal. And I got to be honest, Rob G, I'm fine with it. I don't think it's Bush League. I don't think it's beneath the Lakers. I think this helps legitimize it.
Well, here's the thing. If you have the tournament and you're taking it seriously like the NBA wants the players to do tap, tap, New Orleans Pelicans, are you awake? Are you here? Little Vegas flu?
Are you hungry? Yeah, you know that. Some of them, at least.
But if you want people to take it seriously, this is the way to do it, right? This is the way to do it. And while I think the overarching thing about the in-season tournament, the most damning quote is LeBron saying, when you guys give us something to play for, you see what's out there, like your guaranteed, like, you know, that's what your guaranteed contract is for, LeBron, in the regular season. Have something to play for, right? But
I digress.
If we're going to go ahead and do this thing, might as well do it to the fullest. I don't have a problem with them hanging the banner either. And let's be honest, if the Pacers had won that game and they hung the banner, I don't even know if we're even talking about it being an issue. The only reason why we're talking about it may potentially be an issue is because it's LeBron James that'll be one of the people on the court when the banner's hung.
Rob G, what is your issue with it as a Laker fan? Seriously.
It's because the Lakers have a standard that's different than everyone else in the NBA. And them and the Celtics, the only ones who only hang championship banners. Everybody
else. But that's because they have so many.
Well, that's because we have a different standard of winning. If we were the Sacramento Kings, then sure. If you're the Utah Jazz, fine. But not the Lakers, not the Celtics.
I get that, like, you could say, well, winning the Pacific Division or certainly the Western Conference Finals is bigger than winning this tournament, which is true and always will be. But I do think, and I've said this, Martin, years from now, I think people will add this tournament into the debates about players. Like, I think I brought this example up. If Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren end up having this great individual rivalry, right?
Right.
And you're debating which one was better. I think obviously your individual stats will be a factor. Championships, obviously, if they should win some.
Sure. All-stars.
And then I think you'll be able to throw, and I'm not saying it'll be a deciding factor. I'm not saying it'll be a huge factor. But a factor at least would be, and so-and-so won 5 in-season tournaments, so the other guy only won 2 or hasn't won any and lost 2 in 2 of the championship games. Like, I think it'll become something, and I think, like I said, hanging the banner, especially when you're the Lakers, does, I think, feed into my belief that later on in time, as years go by, this will become a factor.
I disagree there. I don't imagine. I mean, if we're splitting hairs to that degree, leave me out
of
the conversation.
No, we do though.
But I mean,
we really do, Martin. When we talk about LeBron versus Jordan or any other comparison, when you're talking about the all-time greats, I always say this: you nitpick. You have to, because they're so awesome and fantastic. LeBron James is phenomenal. Michael Jordan is phenomenal. The difference is minuscule.
Sure, but I think that what this is with the in-season tournament is more akin to the play-in tournament, where this is another opportunity for the league to quote-unquote make stars. Like, John Morant in the bubble had one of the best games we've ever seen him play in the play-in tournament, and then followed that one up next season with another one in the play-in tournament, and then his team was atop of the West for a while. Now, obviously, he's in his own situation right now, throwing chess passes in the courtroom, which is an entirely different conversation. But his star rose in those play-in tournament games, right? Tyrese Halliburton his star has risen to a higher level than it ever would have. Or right. I shouldn't say than it ever would have, but than it would has already,
than it
right?
was, right?
Than it was now. His star has risen. This is going to be another opportunity for the, like you said, the Victor Wembanyamas, the Chet Holmgrens. While they're not necessarily having the overall team success, Chet more than Chet, Victor at the time, but it'll give them an opportunity to get on the main stage, play some games that have some stakes, because realistically, for Victor Wembanyama's career right now, they're not going to be playing any meaningful – they're not playing meaningful games at all this season. Neither Detroit Pistons are playing meaningful games at all this season. If you're able to go and have a guy like Cade Cunningham –
yeah, but, we the Lakers are, and they took it seriously.
Well, I think it's a – which is a great sign for the league to me.
I think some other teams didn't, Martin. I mean, the fact that Denver wasn't in, in the finals or even the Final Four, and some of these other top teams weren't either. I mean, Boston and Milwaukee made it and then got beat. So I think – I do think that the Lakers took it more seriously than some other teams or started to take it seriously before these – like LeBron to me clearly – made up
he
in
wanted
his
to
mind.
Win it.
Yeah, that he wanted to win it. Now, so let's go there. Do you think this did anything for his legacy at all?
No. No. I think at this point you're cemented in. Unless he's pulling down more Larry O'Briens, you're pretty much cemented in whichever camp you're in, whether you got the Jordan or LeBron debate going on. You're pretty much feet planted at this point. I don't think it does much for his overall legacy and long-term success unless, somebody else gets four championships and two in-season tournaments. I can't bring myself to –
where are you at on the – I don't even know who you got, Jordan or LeBron.
I'll go with Jordan.
Okay.
I'll go with Jordan.
You got Jordan. You got LeBron number two, though?
Sure.
Yeah. that dang. You no. just dissed the king.
I'm not dissing him at all.
There was no conviction in that.
No, LeBron is the best basketball player of my generation, right? Which
so you got him number two? Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's without a doubt.
I mean, you said it like, if I said Kareem, yeah, sure.
No, to me, what LeBron has done, the longevity is one of the things that I think will never be matched in the NBA. Boy, in terms of him still being like one of the arguably top three, top five players in the NBA 21 years later, his career's got a drinking license. I mean, his career could go out and buy a beer. That's ridiculous to me. But in terms of the in-season tournament,
longevity is incredible.
I think it's something, again, that's going to put guys like a Tyrese Halliburton, who is playing at an all-star level, who you may not have seen on national TV until the All-Star game, right? But the thing that's huge is we look at the NBA, they treat players differently than the NFL does. The NBA is much more about the partnerships with the players. Right. LeBron buying into this only benefits the league. And right. I think when you look at a guy, I will never forget Patrick Beverley in the bubble when all that was reported out. When Patrick Beverley, who was a member of the Clippers at the time, said, "We're doing what LeBron does in regards to playing out the rest of the season after Jacob Blake was shot in Wisconsin. We're doing what LeBron says to do," right? Because let's be honest, LeBron is a major tastemaker in the NFL and the NBA. He's absolutely one of the people who, LeBron saying this is real, makes it real for a lot of other people.
Right.
So I think it was honestly commendable by his part, because if this is the league that he's a part of,
if he takes it seriously, then other players are going to take it seriously.
Exactly.
And that was good for him.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.